The late 1940s and early 1950s were known as the golden age of UFOs in America, and it all started with the Roswell incident.
After rumors about the crashed flying saucers spread in the late 1940s, the U.S. seemed to come down with alien fever.
Over the next decade, the number of UFO sightings skyrocketed. If you read newspapers and police reports back then, it seemed like more alien spacecraft were appearing by the day.
And soon, science fiction movies got in on the fun. Hollywood released some of their best classics, like Forbidden Planet, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and The Thing.
That influence has continued in modern films too, like Independence Day, Mars Attacks, and Men in Black. But those movies featured something a little different. Aliens mingling with the President of the United States.
And those plot lines may have come from other speculation that existed for years, that aliens and the Commander-in-Chief have been colluding for decades.
President Dwight D. Eisenhower was rumored to have even climbed aboard a UFO himself, and no one was ever supposed to know about it. Welcome to Conspiracy Theories, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Monday and Wednesday, we dig into the complicated stories behind the world's most controversial events and search for the truth. I'm Carter Roy.
And I'm Molly Brandenburg.
And neither of us are conspiracy theorists.
But we are open-minded, skeptical, and curious. Don't get us wrong. Sometimes the official version is the truth.
But sometimes it's not.
You can find episodes of Conspiracy Theories and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify.
This is our second episode on the many connections between UFOs and the Oval Office. From cover-ups to secret meetings to the influence an extraterrestrial realization may have on the nation.
Last time, we traced the alleged secret history of aliens and the Oval Office, from the Founding Fathers' possible close encounters up to the present day.
This time, we'll unpack some of the theories surrounding the working relationship between aliens and America's Commander-in-Chief, like whether they've made secret agreements in the past, and if there's a level of security clearance that even the President isn't privy to. Plus, we'll investigate whether one of history's most beloved presidents was murdered to protect the government's UFO secrets, as well as his famed actress girlfriend.
We have all that and more coming up. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. There's one thing we can all agree on. Dealing with pests is a pain. But luckily, Terminix can help, because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. So if your home or business has pests, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TerminiX.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Bottling everything up can be really bad for you in the long run and have some terrible consequences. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. The more you let things build up, the more of a toll it can take on your mental health. I know for me, in dealing with some traumatic events in my life, I had the tendency to think, well, they've already happened. I'm okay. Other people have it worse. It doesn't matter much. And through therapy, I was really able to understand how those events impacted me and changed how I'd start to see the world in ways that weren't great and were sometimes making my life worse. So therapy or dealing with any traumatic events you've had might really help you in terms of how you can live in the present moment now. So if you want to give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's also really easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/conspiracy today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/conspiracy.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
One summer evening in 1952, the control tower at Washington National Airport in D.C. erupted into chaos.
According to the Washington Post, airport workers noticed seven unexpected objects appear on their radar.
They were moving like nothing they'd ever seen before, and they were flying in restricted airspace, dangerously close to the White House and the Capitol building.
The crafts zoomed around each other, sometimes hovering in place, sometimes accelerating at incredible speeds. One witness compared them to kids playing tag in the sky.
When the Air Force heard what was happening, they scrambled their F-94 fighter jets to intercept the crafts. But the planes were no match for the strange glowing objects. They easily darted off into space. But the message they left behind was loud and clear.
These UFOs could go anywhere and do anything. More importantly, they could get terrifyingly close to the White House, and there was nothing the U.S. military could do to stop them.
So when President Eisenhower took to the Oval Office the following year, he seemingly chose a different approach to UFOs. He was going to deal with these alien visitors himself.
This brings us to our first conspiracy theory, that Eisenhower held secret negotiations with beings from another planet and successfully managed to keep the intergalactic peace.
In February 1954, Eisenhower flew to Palm Springs, California for what was supposed to be a quick golf trip. But after finishing dinner one evening, the president was nowhere to be found.
Eisenhower then reappeared the following morning on February 21st at a church service. The excuse for his absence? He chipped his tooth during dinner and spent the previous night at the dentist. Which sounds fair enough. There's nothing too suspicious about an after-hours trip to the dentist.
But if you asked former American University professor and alien researcher Michael Sala, he'd probably disagree. According to an interview he gave to the Washington Post, he believed the dentist trip was nothing but a cover story. And he had a theory about what really happened to the president in those missing hours.
Sala believed Eisenhower wasn't just visiting California for a round of golf. He thinks he was there on some top-secret alien business.
He had reason to suspect Eisenhower went to Edwards Air Force Base, about 100 miles north of Palm Springs. Here's what apparently happened.
Eisenhower allegedly attended a meeting, but not with other heads of state or military generals. Instead, with a pair of tall, humanoid aliens.
Through telepathy, the beings tried to convince the commander-in-chief to get rid of America's atomic weapons. They claimed nuclear explosions not only had disastrous effects on Earth, but supposedly on the entire time-space continuum.
But according to Sala, Eisenhower wasn't convinced. He refused to disarm the country's nukes, even after the aliens supposedly offered some advanced technology as a trade.
That wasn't the only supposed encounter between Eisenhower and UFOs. The former president allegedly met with another group of aliens the following year, and these ETs had different intentions.
According to Larry Holcomb's book, The Presidents and UFOs, in 1955, Eisenhower took a trip to Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. Normally, the arrival of a president on the base would be met with a ton of fanfare. But according to Airman Bill Kirkland, who was stationed at the base at the time, they kept the visit as quiet as possible. There would be no fanfare, no welcome parade, no publicity at all.
At the time, Kirkland didn't think much of it. On the morning of Eisenhower's visit, he went to his post like it was any other day. But while on duty, a coworker told him something incredible. There was a flying saucer hovering right outside the base.
His colleague claimed the UFO was about 30 feet across, made from smooth, reflective metal. For some reason, the craft hadn't landed yet. It seemed to be waiting for something.
Kirkland ran outside on his next break to check it out, but by the time he got there, the sky was empty. The saucer had already disappeared. Kirkland went back to work, perhaps assuming he fell for some sort of prank.
But a few hours later, Kirkland overheard two Air Force pilots talking about Eisenhower's visit. He was shocked to find that their conversation included a mention of that UFO.
The men said the flying saucer landed on the base's runway right next to Eisenhower's plane. They then watched someone exit the plane and disappear into the ship. The men were too far away to get a clear view of who the person was, but they suspected it was Eisenhower himself.
Afterward, Kirkland asked around about the strange story, but every time he did, he got the same answer. That information was classified.
Holcomb's book noted some additional details about Eisenhower's schedule around that time. The president's personal records claimed he was out hunting quail on the morning of February 11th, the day he supposedly visited Holloman Air Force Base. But Holcomb alleged it was, quote, possible that the diary for the 11th could have been deliberately adjusted.
Michael Sala has a story about this alleged alien encounter as well. Sala believed Eisenhower was offered another deal during his second extraterrestrial meeting. This time, the aliens wanted permission to abduct American citizens for their own research.
According to Sala, Eisenhower agreed under one condition. They had to bring his citizens back home in one piece. Now, Sala was not entirely clear why Eisenhower complied this time. Maybe it was much easier and less conspicuous for him to loan out a few American citizens than it was to shut down an entire nuclear arsenal.
Regardless, it's important to take Sala's research with a heavy grain of salt. He may have worked as a professor at one point, but his UFO research wasn't exactly academic. When the Washington Post asked him in 2004 how he found out about Eisenhower's supposed meeting, Sala said, "There's a lot of stuff on the internet, and I just went around and pieced it together."
Sure, that could mean he jumped to a few conclusions, just as Holcomb likely did. But there's plenty to this theory that still could ring true. We'll take the meeting at Holloman Air Force Base. That one came from a witness who was there when it all supposedly happened.
Except Kirkland never saw the UFO for himself. He only heard about it from other men around the base. Kirkland may be a more reliable source than Sala, but he still isn't an eyewitness.
Fair. But regardless of what you want to believe about Eisenhower's alien encounters, one thing is true. The U.S. was collecting top secret information on UFOs. And according to another theory, some members of the government were willing to do anything to keep their research out of the public eye.
Coming up, Kennedy pushes for disclosure and possibly pays for it with his life.
This episode is presented by State Farm. On this show, we don't take "we don't know" for an answer. And you shouldn't either, especially from your insurance company. If you have a question about your policy, State Farm has answers. You can reach them 24/7, file a claim on the State Farm mobile app, or call your agent to ask your what-ifs, like, what if I need to update my policy? Or what if the Seattle windshield pitting epidemic happens in my town? State Farm is there for your what-ifs, so you won't be left with any unexplained mysteries about your policy. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Now, back to the story.
On a snowy day in 1961, John F. Kennedy stood at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. He placed his hand on a Bible and repeated the oath of office. Minutes later, he stepped up to a podium and delivered his first speech as President of the United States.
Former Chiefs of State Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower stood just a few feet behind him. The two men knew the difficult job Kennedy was inheriting that afternoon. The country was locked in a bitter Cold War against the Soviet Union that seemed to worsen by the day.
But as Kennedy spoke to the crowd, he didn't pledge to stamp out his communist enemies. Instead, he offered them an olive branch.
To those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge, but a request that both sides begin anew the quest for peace.
It was a powerful statement from Kennedy, but the information he wanted to use as that olive branch might have cost him his life. This brings us to conspiracy theory number two, that John F. Kennedy hoped to share classified UFO research with the Soviet Union and possibly the public. But the CIA assassinated him to keep it secret.
In 2011, NBC News reported that author William Lester supposedly uncovered a classified letter Kennedy wrote back in 1963. It asked the CIA to disclose all information they had about extraterrestrial life.
In Lester's book, A Celebration of Freedom, JFK and the New Frontier, he claimed that Kennedy wasn't just interested in learning about the government's UFO research for himself. He actually wanted to share it.
In the top secret memo, Kennedy supposedly mentioned his plan to share some of the, quote, high threat details of their space research, which seemingly implied UFOs. Perhaps he thought this would help ease tensions between the two nations. Plus, that way, the Soviet Union wouldn't mistake alien spacecrafts for U.S. spy planes.
He allegedly said he wanted to, quote, make a distinction between known and unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering.
Lester claims he got a hold of this CIA document through the Freedom of Information Act. FOIA, or FOIA, requests are ways for the press or any curious individual to obtain government documents. But the CIA is famous for rejecting even the most basic FOIA requests. They've even faced lawsuits because of it. Which makes me wonder, why would the CIA release a document as explosive as this?
There's other details that make me doubt its authenticity. NBC News reported that the design of the memo isn't consistent with other, real, top-secret documents from the JFK administration, at least according to technicians from the JFK library. Also, the government's standard top-secret stamp was noticeably different.
But let's say for a second that memo was real. The timing of Kennedy's death becomes even more suspicious.
It's true. Only 10 days after he supposedly submitted that request, Kennedy was shot and killed in Dallas. Any of his apparent attempts to open up a line of communication with the USSR died with him.
And according to William Lester, Kennedy's assassination was part of this theory. He believed the CIA planned and executed his death to protect the government's research on UFOs.
He claimed the proof was in another supposed top-secret memo released to conspiracy theorists in 1999. This one was allegedly written by CIA Director John McCone before Kennedy's death.
The two-page document with an apparent seven-page addendum is difficult to parse because it's redacted, but also partially burned. As the story goes, it was first leaked by an anonymous source who claimed they pulled it out of a fire after the CIA tried to dispose of their evidence.
The legible parts of the memo, if true, are pretty shocking. In one section, McCone supposedly wrote, "As you must know, Lancer has made some inquiries regarding our activities, which we cannot allow."
Lancer was the CIA's code name for JFK. William Lester believed this meant the CIA didn't like Kennedy snooping around about their covert UFO research.
Later in the document, McCone suggested a house cleaning might be necessary. From his tone, it sounded like he was talking about clearing JFK out of the White House for good.
The document ended with this ominous sentence: "When conditions become non-conducive for growth in our environment and Washington cannot be influenced any further, the weather is lacking any precipitation. It should be wet."
Wet work is spy slang for assassination.
And if the CIA was willing to kill a sitting president just to protect their UFO secrets, well, they probably wouldn't have any reservations about tying up a few other loose ends.
In the book, Diary of Secrets, UFO Conspiracies and the Mysterious Death of Marilyn Monroe, UFO researcher Nick Redfern laid out another shocking theory: that the CIA also murdered Kennedy's secret girlfriend, Marilyn Monroe, for knowing too much.
Another alleged top-secret document claimed the CIA had Monroe under surveillance and was supposedly listening in on her phone calls, as well as those of her close friends. During a conversation between her confidant Howard Rothberg and reporter Dorothy Kilgallen, Rothberg reportedly admitted that Kennedy shared classified UFO information with Monroe during their rumored affair.
Monroe even supposedly claimed the U.S. had a secret airbase for the purpose of inspecting things from outer space.
The same document claimed Monroe called the Attorney General and JFK's brother, Robert Kennedy, to lament about how she was being treated by them both. If that didn't change, she said she would go public with the classified information. Monroe told RFK that she had a diary of secrets that could send shockwaves through the country if it ever got out.
But Monroe never got the chance. In 1962, she was found dead inside her Los Angeles bedroom, surrounded by empty pill bottles. Her so-called diary of secrets was never found.
The LAPD ruled that she died from an overdose of barbiturates. But according to Redfern, this leaked document implies that the CIA killed her.
But here's the problem. The memos about Kennedy's supposed push for alien disclosure and the CIA's response were never confirmed by government officials or authenticated otherwise. Plus, in 1995, a member of the CIA's historical review group named Barry Harrelson investigated the Marilyn Monroe document. He wrote, "Agency officers who have reviewed the document consider it to be fraudulent."
Well, to be fair, Harrelson worked for the CIA. This could just be another example of how the agency covers its tracks.
On the other hand, the JFK Library in Boston has a complete archive of the former president's letters. As of 2011, they had no record of any of these memos.
But theorists could argue that the CIA made some papers disappear from the Kennedy archive over the years. Plus, this isn't the first time someone accused the CIA of taking a hit out on Kennedy. We've covered his assassination plenty of times on this show, and according to those theories, the CIA had a few reasons to eliminate him. UFO research might have just been one more bullet point on that laundry list.
Well, the evidence just feels too thin to me. John F. Kennedy's assassination inspired more conspiracy theories than nearly any other event in modern history. Some align with reality more than others. The supposed evidence for UFOs being the cause just isn't as convincing, though.
Either way, I think this theory brings up an interesting question. How much do presidents really know? Could there be government secrets so closely guarded that even the commander-in-chief doesn't have access to them?
Coming up, security clearances that may exceed the president. Now, back to the story.
UFOs have seemingly caught the attention of U.S. presidents since the beginning of the nation's history. As we mentioned last episode, George Washington allegedly had a strange run-in with an alien during the Revolutionary War. Thomas Jefferson investigated a sighting of his own. Some have said that even Abraham Lincoln believed humans weren't alone in the universe.
It wasn't until the 20th century that the rest of the U.S. government started taking it seriously, at least behind closed doors.
Between 1947 and 1969, the U.S. Air Force ran a classified program, which we know for a fact existed, called Project Blue Book. The goal of Blue Book was clear: investigate UFOs and keep those findings top secret.
In 1997, the New York Times reported that the CIA also admitted to lying about UFO sightings for decades.
But what if the CIA and other corners of the government weren't just hiding these secrets from the American people? What if their disinformation campaign extended all the way to the Oval Office?
This leads us to our third and final conspiracy theory. Sitting presidents don't have full access to the government's true secrets. There's a level of security clearance that goes above the so-called most powerful person in the world.
In the 1990s, Bill Clinton tried to learn everything he could about UFOs during his presidency. In a 2014 interview with Jimmy Kimmel, Clinton said he ordered his staff to go through all the information they could find about Area 51. He wanted to see whether there was any truth to the idea that the base was hiding alien artifacts.
Clinton told Kimmel he had his staff dig through every single document related to the Roswell incident too, but he swore on national television that he couldn't find a shred of proof aliens existed.
But what if Clinton didn't see all of the government's UFO documents? What if he just thought he did?
The President of the United States is supposed to be able to access the nation's classified materials. But according to some UFO investigators, there's a faction of the U.S. government working hard to keep the shocking truth about aliens private, even from the Oval Office.
The internet is littered with rumors about a deep state shadow government that supposedly runs the country behind the president's back. One internet message board claims there are actually 38 levels of security clearance, and the president can only get to level 28.
But those theories have no evidence to back them up.
Some official sources argue otherwise. In 2010, a retired Army lieutenant colonel turned congressional candidate named Alan West made a very public and shocking claim. He really did have access to top secret documents that even then President Obama couldn't see.
During a campaign appearance in Florida, West told the crowd that he had what is known as TSSCI security clearance, the highest level of security access in the government.
TSSCI stands for Top Secret / Sensitive Compartmented Information. And although we can't verify if West really had it, it seemed possible.
West served 21 years in the military and commanded hundreds of soldiers in Iraq during the 2003 invasion.
So, if there was classified information that helped him lead his unit, it makes sense he was approved for this high-level clearance.
It's important to note here that according to PolitiFact, there are actually three main levels of security clearance in the U.S. government, despite what internet theorists say. The lowest level is confidential, then secret, and finally, top secret. West's TSSCI clearance is a specific type of top secret clearance.
A 2009 executive order stated that top secret documents could cause exceptionally grave damage to the national security if they were released to the public.
But even if Alan West did have TSSCI clearance, it wouldn't give him free rein to all of the government's top secret information. According to CNN, West would only be cleared for a specific section of classified documents related to his particular duties.
Security clearance like his wasn't particularly rare either. In fact, more than a million U.S. government employees and contractors have top secret access.
That doesn't mean there are millions of people with higher levels of clearance than the president, though. They just each had access to their own specific corner of classified documents. But the president's clearance was even better.
National security specialist Stephen Aftergood told PolitiFact, quote, "There is no information in government that could be denied to the president for security reasons if he determined he needed access to it."
According to CNN, to get approved for the highest level of security clearance, people like Alan West needed to go through a rigorous screening process. The government spends months combing through their personal, political, and financial histories. Officials may even sit down for interviews with the applicant's family and friends. But the president doesn't need to jump through any of those hoops. They can get clearance automatically, simply by being the commander-in-chief.
Another global security expert said to PolitiFact, "The only clearance the president needs is the mandate of the people."
Looking at the facts, there's one simple answer as to why Bill Clinton and other presidents may have never uncovered secret proof of UFOs. It may not exist.
Whistleblower Edward Snowden went digging for proof of alien life while he worked for the CIA in the 2000s. In his 2019 memoir, Permanent Record, Snowden said he scoured the CIA's entire classified network. But just like Clinton, he never found a thing.
Snowden said, quote, "As far as I could tell, aliens have never contacted Earth, or at least they haven't contacted U.S. intelligence."
Although it may not be that simple. The Air Force spent two decades investigating UFOs in secret, and in July 2022, the Pentagon admitted to establishing a task force to study the bottomless pit of UFO sightings they'd accumulated over the years. Maybe Snowden and Clinton just weren't looking in the right places.
That may be true. But if Clinton or any other president asked for the information, I'm sure they'd get it. Whether or not they'd admit it to the public, well, that's another story. Ultimately, I don't think there's anyone hiding their findings from the commander-in-chief. As we established, they should have access to whatever they're looking for.
Yes, in theory, the President of the United States can access any and all classified information if it's necessary to help run the country. But as we've speculated with Kennedy, the CIA and other organizations have seemingly kept the president in the dark before. If they are the ones with the answers, it's very possible they aren't sharing them all with the Oval Office.
The question of security clearances may not even matter soon. Over the past few years, the U.S. government has begun declassifying UFO research, much of which was top secret half a century ago.
Back in 2020, the Pentagon started releasing its own collection of UFO footage shot by Navy pilots. They are all grainy, black and white videos, and the UFOs don't look like more than blurry balls of light. But the footage is a huge step towards breaking down the government's long-standing wall of secrecy.
A January 2023 report from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence openly talked about hundreds of so-called unidentified aerial phenomena, and many of them can fly in ways the intelligence community doesn't understand.
If this new movement towards government transparency continues, we might be headed towards our own golden era of UFOs.
The truth is finally starting to come out, regardless of whether you're the President of the United States or just another citizen staring up into the night sky and wondering what else or who else might be up there.
Thanks for tuning in to Conspiracy Theories. You can find all episodes of Conspiracy Theories and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. For more information on the history of aliens and the White House, amongst the many sources we used, we found Larry Holcomb's book, The Presidents and UFOs, A Secret History from FDR to Obama, extremely helpful to our research.
We're here on Mondays and Wednesdays with all new episodes.
Until then, remember, the truth isn't always the best story.
And the official story isn't always the truth. Conspiracy Theories is a Spotify original from Parcast. Our head of programming is Julian Boireau. Our supervising sound designer is Russell Nash, with Nick Johnson as our head of production and Spencer Howard as our post-production supervisor. Quality control by Lisa Marie Gallegos, Ryan O'Leary Jones is our supervising editor, and Derek Jennings is our writing lead. This episode of Conspiracy Theories was written by River Donahay, edited by Mallory Cara and Lori Marinelli, fact-checked by Kevin Johnson, researched by Brian Petrus, produced by Joshua Kern, with sound design by Anthony Valsic. Our hosts are Carter Roy and me, Molly Brandenburg.